CliffCentral.com.
Ah, yes. Thank you. Welcome to it. My name is Mabale Moloi.
And I'm Timi Meraki.
Yeah. I'm not going to take issue with that anymore because I can't take issue with how you say your name. It's none of my business. How dare I?
It's about how everybody else says
my name. I must just get over myself. It's about how you say your name and how you want to hear your name said. Yes. And welcome to it. Another edition of Sipping Tea. So it is a Tuesday. Oh, and then we are very slowly heading into that season where it's no longer summer, ne?
Yeah.
Because technically, are we in autumn now?
We are in autumn, yes, darling.
So we're in autumn, and then after autumn comes winter.
And
you know winter is my favorite season of the year.
But you're single.
Oh, snap. That deserves a drops mic kind of moment, kind of gif or kind of sound effect. Yo, it was so good, I think. It was so
good.
And it's fine. I'm single, but you know, I have friends who love me. But the reason that it's my favorite season, the only reason really, it's because that it's my birthday.
So it means your party has to happen indoors or during the day, like, because then at night it's way too cold.
This is the thing though, is that it's almost impossible to get people to go out on my birthday to do like a little birthday dinner thing. They're like, no guy, me and this couch and the body heat that is my man, we are here. I don't know about you and your restaurant with fancy dinner.
Have your friends ever sent you a guy for your birthday? Like, has anyone ever actually gone, oh my gosh, it's super cold, this guy's super hot, and he can go and just be with Mabale for like the evening and just keep her warm?
He no.
Doesn't even have to copulate.
They're oh just... my gosh. No, my friends don't love me.
Oh my gosh.
Because, I mean, the fact that nobody has thought to do that for me.
It's hurtful.
It is. I don't even know if they're my true friends anymore.
I've barely known you that long, and that's the first thought that came to my mind.
Would
that's
you,
what you need for your birthday.
Would you send him wrapped in a box?
Proper.
Like, would the door ring? Because I don't have a doorbell, so it would be Coco.
Yeah.
And then would I open the door, and then would there be just this big box?
Yes.
And then what would happen?
Yes. And then you open the doors, and inside the doors, there's another doors. This is going to just hold you the whole night. It's a double duos.
It's a double duos type of situation. That's great. That's
you know,
great.
It's funny. What I like about winter really is I like to cover up. So I don't know. I that's the only thing I like about winter, that I actually get to wear long, like, you know, baggy things. I don't know. Outside of that, I feel uncomfortable in winter. I don't like it. I just like what I can wear.
Because you don't like feeling cold. Is that the obvious reason?
Cold. I was born in December, bruh.
Oh.
So me and the cold, we are not a thing.
No, you don't get along.
No.
See, another reason why I think I like winter is, you know, when you mention covering up, and for me, it's also a case of, like, if I'm feeling really uncomfortable in my body and I'm just feeling extra,
yes.
I feel I can get away with that look in a winter wardrobe than in a summer wardrobe. Because, you know, in summer, everything is showing. Your arms, you know, if you're wearing jeans, like, it's just...
Everything is out there.
But with winter, you can always throw on a coat or a jacket and a scarf. And then it just hides all your insecurities.
Oh, you get to wear those nice thick stockings that actually shape your legs nicely.
Yes.
And they don't look so wobbly anymore because now they're being held in by the stuff.
Yeah.
And then you can wear your mini. But then it's like, oh, but I'm not wearing a mini because look at the tights I'm wearing underneath.
Yes.
And then you still feel comfortable.
Yeah. I like that whole thing.
And you know what? Also, I suppose what I don't like is now there's going to be gas happening in my life because we have gas heaters in the house.
Oh, the gas struggle is real.
That struggle is proper because now there are kids involved. So now certain parts of the room can have gas and certain points. And, you know, it's just, man. And then I've got two kids, one of whom is asthmatic. The other one was asthmatic, just came off the pump, but I don't know what's going to happen in winter. Like, winter for me is stressful, bruh. Because then I know for a fact that, well, now I'm taking them for flu vaccines. Dudes, if you have kids, take them for the flu vaccine. It doesn't mean they're not going to get the flu, but it means they're not going to get the worst strain of the flu. So that's what I do for my kids.
So then what do you do and say when you encounter those people who will tell you that the flu vaccine is a complete waste of a child's immune system and that they don't do anything?
Then I tell them, well, I'm glad your child is a Superman or a Superwoman. My children are not built like that.
Yeah.
Because I started this whole vaccinating thing 2 years ago, and I saw the difference, particularly with my firstborn, because he's the asthmatic one. And then the younger, my youngest one, the middle child has no doubt. My middle child, that's the one where I'm wasting money. That child,
what do you mean?
That child is healthy as an ox.
Like, oh, okay.
We don't get it. Like at some point, my husband said, one day you'll tell me who's the father of this child, because this child is, my child does not get sick.
He's got those super strong genes. He's,
you know what? It's come to a point where we've had to buy vitamins and give him, because then he feels left out. And you're like, you don't want to encourage a child to get sick. But then you can see he's feeling left out, that these guys are getting attention, like they're being nebulized, they're being whatever, because they're sickly. He's not. So now what I started doing is that I bought him multivitamins, and then when I'm giving the others medicine, then I give him multivitamin.
To make him feel like a sickling. Like, you see, this is the odd thing.
It's weird.
Because everybody wishes for good health.
Yes.
And then you've got this child who is, but you say, like an ox.
Yeah.
And then you're giving him fake medication to make him feel like he's sick.
He's the middle child. It's rough. It's rough. But he does, as he gets older, he's going to realize the benefits. Because what it means is when those other two are dragged because now they must sleep on these meds, he gets the hugs from me.
Mm.
Like, yes, I may be holding those other ones because, oh my gosh, they're like walking towards the light. And I'm telling them, no! Medical aid still covers you. You don't have to go to the light. Medical aid covers you coming back. I can see that he feels a bit neglected because then he thinks he's not getting the hugs, and it's very complicated, hey?
So that whole middle child thing,
it's a thing.
It's an actual,
a thing.
Is it?
I've watched him regress. I've watched him regress ever since my last born was born. And he, like, for example, he's 4, but he'll insist that I feed him if the little sister's in the room. Because he knows automatically I want to feed the 2-year-old. But now the 2-year-old is into feeding herself. He does not care. I must still feed him. Now the 2-year-old is going, feed me then.
Mm-hmm.
Now you should see me when it's time to chow. I'm sitting there on the floor with 2 plates of food that are not mine. And I'm feeding across. And then half the time I'm eating with them, that by the time I'm supposed to eat, I'm full. And there was a time when Efia was still on, like, was still on the super soft, like, Nestami vibes. And the other one was on solids. And I was so tired. And I remember my sister going, what are you doing? Because there I was feeding the older one.
The Nestami stuff. Oh, boy. You know, sleep deprivation is apparently a real and serious problem with mothers.
It's a thing. And I think winter in South Africa is also frustrating. Like, I know somebody's listening going, why are they talking about winter? But it's also a frustrating time because, you know, that's when the blackouts are going to be coming out proper.
Yeah.
You know?
Load shedding. Thank you.
Load shedding
Thank
is going to be...
Thank you, government.
Then you're going to hear those horrible stories of shacks burnt down.
But, you know,
it's depressing.
We mentioned the middle child syndrome thing, but then doesn't every child, depending on their placing in that system, doesn't every child suffer from their own thing? Because I've always thought that as the firstborn, you probably have it the roughest, because, you know, it's like
the guinea pig.
You are the guinea pig because your parents didn't know what the hell they were doing with you when you came around. So all their tried and tested methods went through with you.
Yeah.
By the time number 2 and number 3 come along, you know, they're more confident about what they're doing. They're like, yeah, okay, no, I got this.
Even some of them are self-raising. Like, so,
yeah, but then that firstborn, Joe, like, he's like your first car that you drive, right? You, like, it gets all banged up because you're still brand new at this thing. You scratch
dented,
it, you dent it, and you know, and then... like 5 years down the line, now you're driving like some E-class or C-class or something, and it's like all shiny and luxurious looking, and you're like, yeah, look at me.
And you're not just taking it to that honchi around the corner to get it fixed. You actually take it to an actual accredited place to get it fixed.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, like, shame, the firstborns also have it rough, and then the lastborns are just completely spoiled. And I can say this with confidence because I'm a lastborn at home.
Okay.
No care in the world, no responsibility, everybody's always ready to defend you no matter what.
And you demand things, ne?
Well, you know what? No, shame. I wasn't very, very demanding as a child.
Uh-huh.
But then I did discover that my older brother and sister were always prepared to take the fall for something that I had done, which was wrong. like for some, there's this protective element that your older siblings have over you, which is natural, I suppose.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think maybe with boys, it's different because, you know, with boys, if you're an older brother to a younger brother, you'll probably just be beating up the younger brother all the time because you want to toughen them up. I don't know.
But wait. Are you the youngest child of just boys before you?
No, I'm the youngest child of three in that there's my older brother who's the firstborn, and then my late sister, she was the middle child, and then there was me, who's the baby.
Ah, because I always find that the genders make a difference as well, because what I found is my firstborn is the pure firstborn. He's a real firstborn. He's the firstborn boy. You know, he's the king. And my secondborn is the lastborn boy. So he's a lastborn and is a middle child. So there we literally do have a bit of a problem.
It's just there's a lot more work required there.
Exactly. And my lastborn is not a lastborn. My lastborn girl does not behave like a lastborn. My lastborn girl is a firstborn girl. So her behavior really is that of a firstborn. I think the lastborn thing just comes with what she'll get away with. But she's a firstborn in that she's the only girl. So, yeah. And what I found is she really runs the household. The beef is always between her and the eldest, never her and the middle child.
Really?
Ever. I'm telling you. If Bonsu, which is the first one, is not defending Lesedi, it's Efea defending Lesedi. Or I swear, like, it's so weird. It's really, really weird. So I think it also depends on how people are placed. I'm just glad they're all pretty much the same age. I mean, you've got your 7-year-old, your 4-year-old, and your 2-year-old. You know, and the 4 and the 2 are generally the shit starers, and the 7-year-old is the orderly guy. But once in a while, the youngest one is the one calling people to order. Like, he will run to me, and she'll run to me and be like, Mommy, say the boss to Dean. I had Dean. I fight Dean. Dean. So I'm like, okay.
She must be so cute, though. I mean, I can just picture her like a little girl with her mom's personality.
Unfortunately.
So strong-willed. Yeah. Sometimes feisty when she feels like it. But then, you know, in charge, commanding, that kind of thing.
You know, the child is yours and you cannot deny.
You know, I was reading, I came across an article about, because apparently there's, in different parts of the world, in different countries of the world, there is a lot of conversation that's been had or that is being had around paternity leave being extended, right? Mm. Because I don't know in this country, for example, how much time fathers get when they become fathers from work. But I know it's not as, you know, it's not as much as the women, obviously. It's not like up to 6 months or whatever, like however much it is that some women go on maternity leave. Mm. So people in different parts of the country, of the world rather, have been having these discussions. And I think in the UK, they proposed that the fathers have extended paternity leave. And then they conducted a survey to ask the men, so if you could take, say, for example, 2 months from work, as opposed to however many number of days that you'd be giving now for paternity leave, would you find that to be something useful? And according to this survey in the UK, only 1% of men said, I would take up that leave and use it to be at home with the child. Because they reckon, no, this is true. These men reckon that the women wouldn't want them around there anyway, and they're more than prepared to do the job on their own.
Wow.
And I was just like, oh, okay. But, you know, I'm not a mother, so I don't know how demanding or how much pressure it puts on the woman. And I can assume or imagine that it would be nice to have the father of the child helping you out.
Yes, so you can take turns sleeping. And for me, why it makes sense that guys should take that leave, but also time it a specific way. You know, for me, closer to when you're going to go back to work, that's when you need to start getting your vitality back. Because what I found it happened with me, and I've spoken to other women who it seems that's how it happened to them. They only get to recover when they go to work. That's when they start recovering. So it means you're not arriving at work at your optimum. Mm. You're arriving to work to now recover from all of the work of a newborn baby, the rest, your body, the pain, if you had cesarean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think men should, if you're a present father, because, you know, my husband did that. I mean, with my last pregnancy, that it wasn't the case of, oh, now I'm tired and I'm going back to work. It was literally this guy. I think in the last month, Mpo literally was the dad. Like the I was sleeping more than anything. He would only wake me up because I had the titty, unless I'd pumped. And, you know what I mean? Because I would pump and there'd be milk in the fridge. But once it's run out, and also getting closer to work, it became a thing of let's not use the milk that's been pumped and put in the freezer. Let's keep that milk for when you're actually away. You know what I mean? Because we're storing this milk for my absence. Because we with all my children, I've delayed putting them on formula for as long as I possibly can. So with the last child, it was that thing of literally my job was just to be the cow. The rest of the time, it was take care of yourself, rest, start gymming, start getting your vitality back, go out for coffee or whatever with a friend, start having like adult conversation with people. Because, you know, when you've had your child, like, you know, there's the time. We're not the same. I have friends who, the day they've had the child, you see them sending you a work email and you're like, but did you not just pop a child? Did a human being not just leave the orifices of your body? You know, and they're like, yeah, but James, we have to get this thing out. Like, ah, and you're thinking, yeah, see, me, I am. But then I suppose for me, it was three cesareans. The last one was obviously quite touch and go because my scar had started splitting before the baby was born. So they were like, let's go get that child for you, Dad.
What do you mean it started splitting? Like when you were at home, sitting on the couch, chilling?
The space between my last child and the middle child was too short.
Okay.
Because what happens is, you know, when you have a cesarean, it's always best to cut the same scar over the same scar when you have the next baby.
Right.
And of course, there's always more and more tissue buildup when your body's healing.
Yes.
So by the time I had the last child, I had all of this tissue that had built up around where the scar was. But it hadn't had enough time to heal because I fell pregnant when my firstborn had just turned a year old. I think he had just turned a year and a half. And I fell pregnant. In fact, yes, it was exactly a month after my child's birthday that I found out I was pregnant. So my scar hadn't healed completely. So by the time I was in my last trimester, the scar had thinned a lot. And
but what was happening?
What was happening?
Like, were you in pain?
I was in a lot of pain.
And you can't even be popping hectic painkillers because you're pregnant, right? You're allowed basically nothing.
Can I have some heroin?
No. No. We don't think that that would be a good idea about now.
And it was worse because now I'm having a girl. So this is my first girl. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's the hormones that come with a girl. But it felt like my pelvis had been melted. It felt completely melted. Like my husband will tell you now, the look on his face when you ask him about this will tell you how horrible it was. I couldn't even turn in bed. Like I would need to turn. Like literally I've been on one side. It's time to switch sides, like be on my back or whatever. And it would take half an hour to move me because it was excruciatingly sore. If I realized I needed to pee, I would cry, Baba. Because I couldn't even just to get up and put weight. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And actually, I don't know what you mean.
Now, what's worse? But here's what's worse now. The doctor's like, yeah, so Tombs, from November, you can't keep working. Now I'm taking secret gigs. Secret gigs in November. Not realizing I'm making my situation worse because my job, I'm on my feet. It's not like someone else who's like, I'm sneaking off to work, but at I'm least I'll be sitting on my feet. Yeah. So, yeah, it ended up at a point where now I could barely walk. And the doctor was like, right, we're not letting you get to 9 months. We're gonna fit your child at around 8 months. So I went in for a checkup and he was like, so your scar, hey. It's opening. So let's kind of go fetch your child now before it gets nasty.
Yeah, no. You see, the thing that I was thinking about with regards to this survey that I was looking at about how only 1% of the men said they would actually take the extended paternity leave is I can just picture and imagine the kind of fighting that could potentially cause in a household. Because here you are a mother, you are sleep deprived because, you know, it's a tough job.
Yeah.
you're dealing with a crying, maybe sickly colic baby, all those wonderful things that come with being a mother. And then there you are sitting thinking, well, at least my husband is going to take like a month from work because now the law says he can, you know, and then he can help me out in this thing, like, tag, you're it. And then he comes home and he's like, yeah, but you know, actually, you got this.
No, but also, it's some fine. Women are such bitches about it, though. Some women really don't let their guys help. I've seen it. Like, the guy doesn't even get a chance to mess up. You stop him from helping before he even starts helping.
Mm.
So it's two-sided. On some level, I do understand what those guys are saying.
Yeah.
Because all it means is they get to stay home and feel useless. Some of them, it's also, I'm going to stay home. I don't know what to do with the child. I'm scared I'm going to break the child. Let me take this. Can I postpone my paternity leave to when the child is about 3 and I can go kick balls with them somewhere? I'll take them. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I think sometimes let's just shame. These poor guys just cut them some slack. You know, some people are just, some of them are going, yeah, I'm going to sit at home. Then all that stuff I've done, she now has the chances to come and tell it. You know what I mean?
She now has a chance to make it up.
Oh, this kid, they'll get her pregnant.
No, man. Kanti, are you...
Hey. Don't know, man. You know it happens.
I know. But the thing is, how soon after giving birth, really, are you going to start doing the... No, this is my question. Because mothers are always going on and on about how they're sleep deprived, right?
Mm.
And then there's tension in the house because you are sleep deprived. And then maybe, as you said, you are criticizing your husband of not being supportive enough for you. Or, you know, you don't want him touching the baby because you're like, hey, but you don't even know what you're doing. And then he feels all abandoned and he's like, yeah, but now she only focuses on the baby and she's forgotten about me. So realistically speaking, how soon after the birth of a child do the people start going back into their normal groove?
You see, my mother, when I had my first baby, this is how I'm going to answer your question. My late mother, when I had my firstborn, insisted that Mpo cannot sleep in the same bed with me for 3 months.
Okay.
I was like, hold on. What?
That's my man.
And I was like, why? It's culture. Now, if you know Tumi, it's culture. Hey. It's the kind of, to this day, my family knows they can never tell me as an explanation that anything is culture.
Hey.
They know they must explain why.
Okay.
So I nagged and nagged until she said to me, he's going to make you pregnant again. Simple as that. He's going to make you pregnant. And my my husband has these two cousins who are literally months up. They were born. The age gap between them is 10 months. Something ridiculous like that. And that for me was, yeah, my mother was not lying about these things.
Okay.
I don't know. Think about it. Next time you're walking in Bo Woolies, Bo Kai Kai, watch. You will find there's a woman with a tummy who is pushing a toddler. But like a 2-year-old or twins, and she's got this tummy, and you're going, but how? And I'll tell you why. You see, when you're breastfeeding, generally, you are not fertile. You won't fall pregnant. But you see, what women don't realize is, number one, we don't eat good things anymore. Some of these things, our hormones are imbalanced anyway.
Mm.
Number two, you don't know your own level of fertility.
Yeah.
So for me, with the first child, I was right when I said, yeah, I'm breastfeeding, I can't fall pregnant. Me and my husband got back into it. We were fine because isn't it at a Caesar? So the beaver was cool. But what women don't realize is it's not a guaranteed contraceptive that you're breastfeeding. Because I was doing it full time. Sometimes, yes, you're breastfeeding, but once in a while, you're supplementing with a bottle. So your body's not on a full-time course here.
Okay.
So it happens like that.
But then even with the Caesar, the C-section, aren't you not allowed to do certain things for like the first 8 weeks after your C-section?
Driving, yes.
Oh, so can you get on top and ride your man home?
I wanted to punch my gynae because I asked in front of my man, I'm hopeful.
Yeah.
I'm going to be told I'm getting a 2-month break. And he said, no, as soon as you're ready, you're ready. Go.
Because
remember, it's just stitches. So you can be lying on your back then, just support your stomach. Because obviously there are positions you obviously won't be able to do because now your stomach muscles still need to tighten up again and your stitches are still fresh. So just for your own pain and for the risk of tearing your stitches, you want to take it easy. You know what I mean? So you get in there as soon as you're ready. And women who've given natural birth are even worse because they're done. You know, the coach is like, I've released the stuff. I've bounced back to my shape. Let's do this thing.
Sure. Okay. See, I had it. Oh, yes. Because they do.
Then it's a different conversation.
Completely.
Then the man must let you heal.
Completely.
Because then he can go and brag to his friends. I tore that issue. So it's still healing.
0861-555-189, or you can send your messages straight through to WeChat at cliffcentral.com. That's the official account.
Okay, but can I just, while we're still on that note,
yes,
that I just want to ask women who've had babies, who are in new relationships especially, or who are going through first babies, that, you know, that child is there because of the two of you. Yes, it's a precious person who is completely and utterly dependent on you and completely and utterly dependent on your man. Just remember that he's still your guy. Just be cognizant of that. You know, I always tell people I have four kids. I have four. It's the three I gave birth to,
yeah,
and it's the one that married me. So you really don't take it for granted that he knows you've just had a child and, oh, it's so, so difficult. He also has needs. In the same way, he is falling over his feet to make sure you've eaten and to do his best and still get in your way and you still cuck on him. Just remember that you can't, yes, you can't have sex with him, or you don't feel like you can have sex with him, but there's oral sex, man. There's exciting things you can do with him. Excite him. Just make him know you still want him and you still love him. Some of us have made that mistake when we've had our babies. And some of us were lucky enough to fix it while there was time. There are people who weren't. So don't kill your relationship over the very thing that is there because of that beautiful relationship. That's the deepest I'll ever be on this show. I'm sorry.
It's something very close
to my heart, because I feel like it's one of the silliest reasons, not silliest, but the most avoidable reason that I found a lot of couples breaking up so soon after having their children, that, you know, the children have become the reason for them to break up.
All right. And on that note, we'll go on a little break. This is Sipping Tea with myself, Mabale Moloe, and Dumi Morake. Stay with us, cliffcentral.com.
Download the Cliff Central app. Available now on the Apple App Store and Google Play Store.
Yes, you're still with Sipping Tea, although can we just be honest about the fact that it's very rare that we actually sip tea on this on this show, because, you know, let's just put it out there and be frank.
Yes.
You know, I was just thinking to myself, I can't remember the last time I actually went to see a movie with, like, the whole movie experience, though. So, like, cinema, popcorn, Slash puppy. Oh, I always go for the slash puppy. Yes. Nothing else will do.
It's like, it's incomplete. It's popcorn and slash.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
The popcorn and cold drink thing, I don't know.
No, because
it has to be a slash.
It has to be a slash. Yes, and then you get a bit of that hit when it hits you in the head, and you're like, wah! Yeah. And then you go in for another one anyway. Yeah. So yeah, but I mean, I was just thinking, because all the movie watching that I do now is basically from my couch, sometimes on the laptop, depending on, you know, whether you're watching pirated stuff or not. But I can't remember the last time I went to go see an movie for the movie experience. I really must.
Can I take you out? Because I do it all the time. I do it with the kids. I do it by myself. And I'm spoiled now. Now I can't do the complete pleb thing.
Oh my God.
Now I'm always either in, like, Prestige, or I'm in, like, IMAX.
Ooh.
Like, that's how much I've been watching.
Yes.
I'm going to date you.
That's fine.
But I don't do girly movies. Just prepare yourself.
Rom-coms. No, me, I don't do that stuff as well.
I'm that girl.
Yeah.
When Star Wars came out.
Oh, yes, this is right.
I had my Star Wars slippers because I have my Darth Vader slippers.
Okay.
And then the only thing I regret is that I didn't have my braids, because if I did, I would have done the whole Princess Leia thing on my head.
Yes, with the two
big
braids on either side of the head.
So the Force was medium with me that day.
Oh, okay.
I will take you out. We're going to watch something. I'm going to take you on two experiences. We're going to do 2 dates. Okay.
Please say the other one is a strip club. Sorry.
Yeah, but we're talking about the movies. Can we just discuss the level of thirst?
Okay. No.
That is my balim. Like, I can't work like this, guys. We are focused. We've discussed. We're going to talk about this. And then the thirst just breaks through. The thirst is like, this is my chance.
I get it. We said two experiences. Okay. So I just, okay.
But because you've taken me away from the movie.
No, let's do. Let's
no,
do.
We're going to do the movie.
Yes.
But I'm going to take you to one of the best strip joints I have ever been to.
Where?
The best strip experience I've ever had, with the best food you could ever have.
Okay.
With a kitchen that closes so late that you can even have this food when we arrive, allow it to digest while we take in all the sexual exploits of this place.
Yeah.
And then, in fact, that's the place where I learned how to make my cooch smell nice.
Ooh.
Yes, because there was a girl there. She was doing her thing and she was amazing. And I'd spent so much money on her that she was literally just willing to chill.
Mm.
And I was like, Charm, can I kiss your cooch? I kissed her cooch. And I was like, Charm, your cooch smells amazing.
And what did she say? What's her secret?
I'm going to tell you. I mean, these people here who are listening, we love them. They have not yet earned the secret. I'm going to tell you the secret.
Okay, okay.
Anyway, yeah. So I'm going to take you to that place.
Okay,
me,
okay.
You, that's it.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I might, if you are lucky and I get drunk enough, might actually pay for you to get a special private something.
But okay, okay. But I have to be comfortable with that thing first.
Which is why there's drinking involved.
Okay.
Some good old Dutch courage.
Okay. That usually does the trick. That usually just loosens things up in more ways than one. You get loose.
And you know, there you flash the red color card, ne?
No,
if you're not flashing cash, don't be with your gold card.
No,
ne?
they don't care.
Then they go, oh, this one's leaving. Just flash black, Baba. Black platinum. Black platinum. That's all you flash. This is where bless us.
Yeah, well, then, yes.
Hashtag calling back to previous episode. Hashtag. Anyway, back to the movies.
Yes.
So I'm going to take you on the, because my favorite cinema to go to. Wait, I feel like I'm advertising people for free here and then I must go and charge them afterwards.
It's fine. I get it. You have a sentimental, some kind of sentimental attachment to these places. So it's fine.
It is. The first time I ever went to watch movies, in fact, was when I went to SK and I saw Sarafina years ago.
Oh, man.
So anyway, I'm going to take you to Cinema Prestige because I love the experience. Thing is, maybe we should go to a Nouveau. But I like Prestige just for the, you can eat some nice food, sit there on the couch like you're in your own house. It's yeah. very cool.
Have it's you had very, that experience? No, I have. It's
like,
it,
I like going there.
Yeah, it's very, you know, it's zhuzhed up for yes. the for the movie experience.
And I get bothered less.
Mm.
Like, not that I don't love people. I love taking pictures. I love getting love. But I feel like when I've gone to the movies and I'm with my people or with my kids, it's like, really? You know?
And people just don't have those boundaries. Because, you know, in that moment, it's all about.
And then they're grabbing my bali, saying, my bali, take a picture.
Yes, yes.
And then it'll be me having to also go, please take a picture of me with my pal. Ooh, whiskey.
Yeah, that. Yeah.
And then it gets rough. So, anyway, so we can do that. And then we go and we do a young IMAX. I love the IMAX experience. I actually thought because I'm a girl, I'm going to be like, ugh, whatever. OMG.
I don't think I've ever had that IMAX experience.
To be honest, the only reason I still enjoy the Prestige experience is just because of that whole couch vibe with the space. But after you've been in an IMAX, I feel like every movie just looks like it could look better. It just feels like this could look so much better.
I remember, I think it was either late last year or right at the beginning of this year when they opened up the 4D movie experience in Cape Town.
Yeah.
As far as I know, I don't know if they've opened up any other cinemas of that kind since then, but basically the 4D experience, in an attempt to take it a step further, they, like, you get chairs that either vibrate or they move in certain parts of the movie. Like, if you are watching a water scene, apparently they, these things that
then
spray,
not splashing
they,
water on you.
Well, not splashing water, you're not like a waterfall, but there's like they simulate water hitting you through like water vapor that gets
much,
I mean
guys.
Yeah, you see, so yeah, so maybe that's about to beat them all, but you never
they
know.
They show an apartheid movie.
So,
you can smell blood.
You can, yeah,
and
no.
And then what happens? Tear gas. You start coughing.
Oh no! You see, can you imagine?
And then they get the white ushers to search. They get black ushers to throw stones at you. I'm like, I'm not kidding.
But the reason that I actually started talking about going to see a movie is because of these movie quotes, right?
Ah.
From what is it? What's the movie? He's just not that into you. So you came across some of these. You have these or what?
I came across some. I have some. You know, when you're surrounded by a lot of women, And then everybody wants a relationship advice, or sometimes you want relationship advice. And I don't know if it's a woman thing, but I always run online. I Google a situation.
Yeah.
And then I read what the psychologists are saying, or what quotes there are, or what a philosopher has to say. I don't know. Sometimes hearing an outside perspective that has nothing to do with your situation itself. Like if it's not someone from your life or your world, and you want to hear, Hore, does this shit happen anywhere else in the world? And what are these people saying about this? You know what I mean?
Okay.
So one of my favorite ones was this one, hearing, if a guy wants to be with a girl, he will make it happen. No matter what. So trust me when I say, if a guy is treating you like he doesn't give a shit, he genuinely doesn't give a shit. No exceptions. He's just not that into you. Boom.
Yeah. I don't know what it is though. And I don't know if there's some kind of like marketing exploitation that's come in here, where for some reason women seem to think that if something is said to them through a quote, all of a sudden it holds more truth to it than the evidence that was right before you the entire time, which was suggesting a particular kind of thing. But now because it's being said through a quote that gets retweeted 6,000 times, and then you're like, okay, now
and
I see it.
And now Sizwe has been given the red card.
Yeah, and now Sizwe is gone. He's
isn't
out.
It Google said. Google said. Google. Yeah. Made it very clear.
Exactly.
You're not into me.
Exactly.
And I'm going to tell you what my problem is with that is it's about interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm reading you to be treating me like shit, I mean, I've met guys who he's catching feelings. And in catching feelings, he's afraid of the fact that he's catching feelings. He starts to be a bit jumpy and he avoids you for a second. And, you know, like he's going, okay, I'm going to spend time with her. I need to limit how much time I'm spending with her because I'm seriously getting into this girl. And she's actually not trying to do this with me. Let me not get myself hurt. Or for whatever reason.
Mm.
But he's catching feelings. And then you read this quote.
Mm.
And you're like, oh, if he's treating you.
Mm.
And then instead of calling Sizwe and saying, Sizwe, this thing, I'm reading this thing and saying you're treating me like shit, which means you don't want me, actually. Then Sizwe can say, actually, I do want to. I was just operating from a place of fear.
Yeah.
When now you've decided.
When now you've decided that now Sizwe is gone.
Now Sizwe is gone.
Because isn't it after you read that quote, you were thinking,
yes,
all those times that Sizwe was quiet, he actually didn't give a shit about me.
That time.
And then you walk in there, tornado. Like
that time Sizwe's friend is in hospice. He's been with his friend holding his hand. He didn't tell you about this because men are not expressors. Then what do you do?
That is such a good point that you make, though, about it's your interpretation of how you're being treated.
Mm.
I mean, I know that there are very clear black and white situations where you know that you're being mistreated by somebody. You know, we can go into abusive relationships and that whole thing. Mm. But a lot of the time, you might perceive to be being treated a certain way because your partner is, like you said, Sizwe is finding it difficult to express himself.
Mm.
But then you yourself also, your own insecurities are playing into how you think you are being treated.
Yes.
And then you talk to Dumi, and Dumi's like, you know, she's got this great relationship from where you're sitting, and you're thinking, but then Sizwe's definitely treating me like shit because Bonampo, how well he's treating Dumi.
Hashtag meanwhile back at the ranch.
Yeah.
Let me tell you now, this is a true story.
Okay.
There's this friend of ours who were all like, yeah, but how do you dump this guy? Are you mad? What do you want? What do women want? You say you want the Prince Charming, he'll treat you like a queen. He treats you like a queen, you dump him. And she was like, guys, he was a freak. He was a stalker. I was uncomfortable.
Oh.
And so I was like, okay, I've heard everybody's version of this guy, and you right now look like a crazy bitch who doesn't know what she wants. You tell me what happened. So I was like, no, it's not that simple. I would get a bunch of flowers here and there, it was sweet, delivered to the office. That was cool. I changed work. I never really got around to telling him where I'd moved to work-wise, but I got flowers there. And then I got flowers at home. And then they started to be followed with visits. So And the visits would always be perfectly timed with exactly when I arrive. And if I don't arrive at a certain time, I'm getting a call to find out why I'm not arriving at a certain time. Then it became the phone calls that are literally every hour. Then it becomes, if you miss that one call, but you've taken every other call. And nohal, you're phoning back. Forget that you missed calls. You are phoning back to say, oh, baby, I see I missed your call. Where were you? What were you doing? Why couldn't you call? That kind of thing. And she was like, guys, I couldn't anymore. I can't. You can't. Now you are here and you're starting to leave your clothing items in my place. And to the point where I'm running after going, oh, you're forgetting your jacket. No, it's fine.
No, I'm not forgetting it. I'm leaving it. Yeah, there's a difference.
Like, is it a problem that I'm leaving it? No, but I, you know.
You don't live here. And I don't really want you to come back tomorrow. Yeah, you see.
Yeah, the kind of guy who gets that comfortable. That he comes to your house, he'll take off his shoes and he'll take off his shirt. And, you know, he'll even cook for you a full meal. You've just come back from work, he'll massage your feet, he'll cook you a full meal, but you must know that each and every single one of your movements must be known. And to which I turned to the friends and I said, I'm sorry guys, she just escaped crazy. You guys are going romantic. This doesn't sound like it was going to end well.
Mm-mm.
At all. Then guys are going to be like, yeah, but Tooms, you guys don't know what you aren't. But I'm just hashtag saying, hey.
Yeah, I hear that thing being thrown around a lot that women don't know what they want.
It's a lie.
It is a lie. I know what I don't want.
For centuries.
Okay. That I know what I don't want. So don't... anyway, carry
listen
on.
To
do
this.
We have to...
If he's not calling you, if he's not texting you, if he's looking for other girls to date, if he's not taking you out on dates, if he's not asking you to be his girlfriend, then it's because he doesn't want to. Even if he's kissing you, even if he's letting you sleep in his bed with him, even if he's cuddling you at night, even if he gets jealous when you talk about other guys, even if he wanted to be with you, then he would be. But he's not. And he's a fool.
Okay. So here's the thing. I almost don't know how to feel about these things now. I almost feel, I mean, I don't know if there are quotes telling men things about us as women. Are they? Because if they are, I would be very surprised, because we're like, oh, okay, so seemingly, you know, you guys are also having issues trying to figure things out, and every now and again you feel inspired from something that you read. But because here's the thing, isn't, you know, a long time ago, women were far more dependent on men, and it was socialized that, you know, as a young girl, you're supposed to grow up and want to end up as somebody's wife, because unless you end up as somebody's wife, you are going to be a complete useless piece of woman, because why were you even here? And so I can understand that there's had to be an adjustment in the way that women think and in the way that women approach interactions with men.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm even afraid to call it relationship, because a lot of the time we think we're in relationships, but it turns out we're not, you know, the guy's just done some, no, we are interacting. we are interacting.
What is it that I saw before? It's we're more than friends, but less than lovers.
Okay.
What are we?
So
then
there needs to be a new word for that to define what that is. So I can understand why there are these, you know, these kinds of movies, like he's just not that into it. Obviously it's fun, it's playful, it's a movie, but you know, the conversation that women have had to have with themselves over time, as we've become more independent, as we've, you know, we've decided, actually, me, if I want to be a slut, I'm going to be a slut, and I'm not going to be slut shamed, and it's fine. So I can understand where these kinds of things come from.
Because when guys do it, they're not sluts, isn't it?
Well, no,
they
could never be. They could never be to me.
Please.
And you will still be a slut, even as an independent woman. They don't care what you say.
Hey, listen here. Top 10, she's not that into you. So there is that she's not. But here, I think it was someone forcing matters, because it literally feels like, oh, you just transposed things.
Okay.
One, she doesn't bring you coffee in bed. Oh, come on.
Yeah, no.
On second thoughts, then, this really is genuine. What kind of idiot measures that? What if you don't like coffee? I'm not bringing you coffee in bed, because guess what? You don't even like coffee.
Yeah.
Right. She makes plans that don't include you because you're not her life. She has a life outside of you.
And also, I don't know if you want to be included in my plans to go to the gynecologist. I mean, I'm just saying. or to have that mud bath with the girls. I don't know if you...
Well, the mud bath with the girls, he might...
No, you and I can go together on our own time.
He might be
interested. But if it's me and six of the girls, like there's a gang of us, he'll still...
But you're all naked.
Oh, okay. So then, okay, no, I see where you're coming from there. No, he might what?
Can I pause for it? Okay, yes. Sorry. I just spoke about girls and mud and my mind went to porn.
Of course it did.
Can I share this for a second?
Yes, of course it did.
So, I watch porn. Okay,
I watch porn.
I came upon something that broke me. Okay. It didn't turn me on. I'm sorry. Okay. It just... But then I watched out of... In the same way you watch Roadkill. Like, oh my God. Have you ever watched the sex wrestling?
Where they
wrestle and
mud.
Have to make each other come. No.
No?
Not in mud. The aim, the winner is the one who makes the other one come.
So you wrestle normal style wrestling.
You wrestle so the person doesn't...
And then somebody
because
wins?
Because you're trying to keep them from making you come. So you can't let them get to your cooch. You have to get to her cooch and finger her until she comes.
Okay.
Like even the boobs and stuff. They grab each other's boobs and... And I'm like, I'm watching this thing and I'm so confused.
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously all staged still, right?
It's obviously.
Yeah. So the fact that there's a winner and a loser,
but they fight.
Yes.
No, but they're fighting. Like they're proper, the girl does not want you to make her come.
Okay. So
she wants to make you come.
Okay.
So,
and the objective is get to hers before she gets to yours. Okay.
But then once you're there, she must come. Getting there is not enough. Once you're there, you need to give her an orgasm. Until she has the orgasm, she can flip you over and the game continues.
But
and there's a referee and everything.
Oh my gosh.
Exactly.
Yeah, you see.
I was so confused. I was like, I get it, guys. I get that sex is explorative and we will continue to discover new ways of having sex. But that one, I was flabbergasted. There's an audience even. Like
in wrestling. It's set up that way.
Yeah. I almost feel like there's some porn expert out there going, dude, you can't watch porn and still be conservative. But that's me. I find myself going, but no.
This one doesn't make sense to me. This one I don't understand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because also when you see that other girl fisting the other girl, you're like, but that can't be pleasurable.
No, it's just rough.
That's an attack.
Yeah. That's not...
Sorry, just you said mud. Yeah. And six women and a guy.
No, so... Yeah, so then I'm just...
Please check that next time you're on
there. I'm going to make a note to...
I think I found it on Pornhub or something.
Okay.
Anyway, wow. We
digress.
Did I just confess that I... Okay. I can't unsay that.
No.
Three, she has ex hang-ups. Like, my ex used to, so... Yeah, but guys...
We all have... That's men and women.
Mm. And you catch yourself saying things sometimes. If someone's had an impact in my life, then...
Okay.
Oh no, you didn't.
No, I did.
Ah.
No, I know. It was shortly after I broke up with my ex, and then I got into what was supposed to be a relationship with this other guy, but it was very, 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 very quickly afterwards, and I was what?
very, very. Do you mean like ex walked out? There was a knock on the door.
Yeah.
I mean, that very, very, it's just, it's not giving me hope. Eh?
The reason I'm stressing the varies is because I said to him, I said, look, this might be just some kind of rebound for you and I, because he'd also just gotten out of a long-term relationship. And I said to him, maybe let's not put pressure on ourselves to call this a relationship or anything like that, because the two of us could just be rebounding. And if we have that understanding, then it's fine.
Then it's fine, yeah.
And okay, then we were rebounding for a while, and then it was just like, oh, okay, so maybe let's just hang around each other and let's see if this could be a thing. And then the one day he called out my name, and I responded with the ex's name. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Oh,
he was so not happy with that. Which I understand. I mean, you don't want to be confused for somebody that you're not, especially not the ex. But it was a slip of the tongue. It really was.
Those slips are dangerous.
Those slips are very dangerous.
I had a slip like that when I had a bit of a side dude in university. this was before I started dating my husband. So this was with my ex before my husband. And so I had this other arrangement. I wouldn't call it a relationship. It was an arrangement.
Okay.
And one time during the arrangement, during a tryst with the arrangement, I did call out.
No. No. So these things.
You see that reaction you have is the reaction this person had.
Oh, he burst out laughing.
He burst out laughing.
Oh, that's
because
good.
Because their names are quite close together. So, at the risk of exposing myself.
But at least so, we laugh.
So, for example, it's like if I was with Ike.
Hey.
And then I said Mike.
Yeah.
And then Ike starts laughing going, oh, so how many times have you said my name in that situation? I was broken. Broken. And you know, and ever since then, I don't say people's names in bed.
I have heard that for your own safety's sake, you must just not.
Although, disclaimer, I am.
Yeah, well, yes.
It's kind of pointless now saying
names. No, anyway. Yeah. It's completely, it's wasted. It's advice for me to take. It's just to call what?
Just like this, how scandals begin. Because you're like, you're thinking in that space, you're not here. And yeah, no, someone's going, oh, but to me, isn't it? You are. Yeah, but I'm speaking.
From that context of the time when you were not a married woman, and then also speaking to me, who's a single woman.
You do that to me, though. You make me feel in the conversations.
I'm sorry.
I forget these things that you Anyway.
Yeah.
What else? If she doesn't participate in your serious activities, if you are watching 16's rugby or whatever version of rugby, I don't get rugby. I don't like rugby. I am not going to take part.
But then are you then allowed to get upset when he doesn't want to participate in your activities?
What activities? Because he's just complained that you don't include him in your plans.
Good. All right. Objection, Your Honor. Sustained. Yeah, moving on. Or, you know, whatever it is that they say in American law.
She pays more attention to her cell phone than you. That is such a guy thing.
Is it though?
I've been in trouble for playing Candy Crush.
I don't know. I think that can also be a woman thing.
Yes.
Why else are women, generally speaking, women, going through their partner's phones?
Yeah, but this one's on her own phone.
Huh?
This one's on her own phone.
But what am I not understanding here? I get it. This quote is saying, if she's paying more attention to her phone
than to you,
it's a problem. Mm. Yeah, so if you are sitting there with your man and he's paying a lot of attention to his phone, you know, it's these things that people say that when the phone rings at home, sometimes he just lets it ring. He doesn't answer.
Mm.
And then you go in there and you're like, what are you? Whose call are you not answering?
Baby, I'm not answering the phone because I'm paying attention to you. That's how you save yourself, gentlemen. You're welcome. We don't agree with that one. Do we agree with that one?
No, that's petty. That's like...
It's a little...
We do everything on our phones these days, you know?
Although, I suppose... Well, there's some merit to it, I suppose. She values the advice of others over conferring with you.
Ooh! Now, you see, this is a dangerous one because how many times... will you get your girls to weigh in on a situation involving you and your partner? And then you take their advice or their word over what he actually says.
Then I wouldn't be married.
Oh. Maybe that's why I'm still not married.
You must regroup it, plan it, reevaluate. Okay, that one is valid. I like that one. She doesn't help you and covers up with, I believe you'll figure it out. This is a needy man. I've never known any man who's crying that the woman isn't helping him.
Mm.
She doesn't help you and covers up with, I believe you'll figure it out.
Mm-mm.
This guy is... I don't think this person wrote...
I don't think this one is a legitimate...
The person was going through something.
Yeah, I don't... You see, this is the problem in 2016 is you can, you know, you could start a blog and you could start writing things and then you can decide that you are some kind of self-proclaimed somebody who knows it. And then people will have conversations about the things that you say.
You're going to love this next one. She's unmotivated sexually, i.e. you go the extra mile, she doesn't.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it seems like you've got something to say. You must get it off your chest, your chestesses.
This thing of guys and all this.
No, come on. Do it to me. Come on.
I just feel like if
You, okay, this, okay, see,
I don't even know how to articulate it.
Try. You have to now. You cannot leave us hanging.
When it comes to sex,
yeah,
there are a lot of things that guys do not to please you, but for their own ego of, look what I was able to make her do. So this kind of line for me makes me question that. Like, you are going the extra mile. Is it really for her or for you? Like, you know what I mean? She, first of all, did you ask her what gets her excited? Did you bother to find out? You know, like, if, for example, my personality, you need to engage me.
Mm.
If you don't engage me, trust me, nothing starts moving at any point. The minute you've got my mind, the rest of me just follows.
Mm.
You know what I mean? She's unmotivated. What do you mean she's unmotivated? Like, what motivation do you need, Keda? I mean...
But because men and their egos are so fragile, is do they maybe, and this is going back to what you were saying, is... Maybe they feel like you need to reciprocate in a certain kind of way or on a certain level for him to feel good about himself and what he was able to achieve. It goes back to what you were saying.
Yes.
Because of the, so.
Because he knows regardless he's going to come.
No, Yena, he's sorted. For him, it's a no-brainer. For him, it doesn't take anything really.
With, of course, the exception of those few guys who've had to fake it.
yes.
Aluta Continua brothers.
Yes. So, but that is a very good point that
you
raise.
But then she's not into you. Then you're right. Then she's not. If she's not motivated sexually, maybe she's not that into you.
Yeah, because let's face it. If a woman enjoys having sex with you as a man, she's going to. She's going to be game. She's going to be ready. She's the one that's going to be... grabbing your crotch area when you are trying to finish that report that you are presenting tomorrow at work, and she's going to be like, I'm not here to listen to your excuses, damn it, do your job. Do your job and satisfy me. If your woman is motivated in the bedroom, you are not going to have these problems. So maybe, yeah, she really is just isn't into you.
But redefine motivated for yourself as well, please.
Yeah.
Ne?
Okay.
Thanks, bye.
All right. You know what? Actually, I think we are almost running out of time.
Oh, cool.
So that would actually now be a good place to leave it at.
Yes, but shouldn't we end it on a happy love quote?
Yeah, well, always.
Please,
it's the land of fairy tales, isn't it?
Yeah, man. Let's continue with the illusion, man. We should find something. When you truly love someone, you don't judge them by their past. You leave it there. Just be happy that their future belongs to you.
Oh.
I'll say it again.
Say it.
When you truly love someone, you don't judge them by their past. You leave it there.
Mm.
Just be happy that their future belongs to you.
Amen. Mm. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Listen, thank you for hanging out with us as always this morning. And we'll be back with you next week. Same time, same place.
Hashtag sipping tea. CliffCentral.com. That is where you find us. Podcasts available. We love you.
Cliff Central.
The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.